Good afternoon. Welcome to ABW Radio Live. I should do it like Martin Tyler, shouldn't I? And it's live! But that would just be too much effort. So I won't. I am your host, Chris, and I am joined by Tom and Jason. Just the three of us today because it was kind of like a weird time for kickoff. And to be completely honest, I didn't have time to find someone else. Sorry. Hi! Afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon.
Chase, you're looking very relaxed there. What time is it in America at the moment, Chase?
It's 9:22, and we're already onto the liquors.
Good. So what's today's, Jason, beverage of choice?
Today is a whiskey ginger. So
you can tell how his Valentine's Day is going.
Yes, yes. I don't celebrate corporate holidays. Canada Dry Ginger Ale with a splash of Maker's Mark.
There you go. There you are, boys and girls. We should play like Jace. We should play Top Trumps with beers and stuff. It'd be quite fun. Anyway, that's not why people have tuned in, have they? They've tuned in to talk about Arsenal. And it's quite nice today, isn't it? It's quite a nice little feeling. So all the people that like a positive show, you're in for a treat. Let's get some opening thoughts then, shall we? Tom, I'll start with you. What did you make of that?
That's fucking great, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, okay, because we're not going to have a negative show, I'm going to start off right now by going, amazing result, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to let this lie, and seeing as I saw his film yesterday, I'm going to quote Deadpool and say that Martin Atkinson is a fucking arsehat, and that is it. That is all I can say on that subject. He's a fucking cretin, and I hate him, and yes, more of that, please.
We will definitely touch on Atkinson Gate, as I shall call it. But we'll stay with the game to start with. Jace, what did you make of it? So you got up at what time did you get up at? Earlier than you went for work.
Yeah, I actually woke up before 7 a.m. 6:55 to be precise, and rushed downstairs and was able to catch kickoff. But a big shout out to all the West Coast American Gooners who woke up. The game kicked off at 4 a.m. this morning. So big shout outs to them for what is probably being more dedicated. I probably wouldn't have woken up at 4 a.m. I just would have recorded it and woken up at 10 a.m. and then watched it. But the game in general, I thought was just wow. From a neutral standpoint, I don't think if you had any real rooting interest, it was extremely entertaining. It was open. Obviously we had a lot of chances once they went down to 10 men. They had some chances early on and just some magnificent play all around some what can only be described as unprofessional refereeing of the game. And it was good, though, that we were able to overcome that. I think we've seen recently where we've not been able to, but today we did. We were able to overcome some poor performances by some individuals and still pull out a result. And it's one of those that really I think it just swings the mood either way, where I think if we lose this game, we're talking about, oh, it's typical Arsenal. We're going to fit, what can we do to make sure that we finish third this year? Whereas opposed to now, I think not only in the fans, but I think the players now, okay, like we can kick on and do this. Like if we really work hard at it and apply ourselves and play not even necessarily to their ability, but just the one thing I'll say is, especially in the second half, is our work ethic was better than I've probably seen all season. And it's disappointing that it takes, being up a man and playing a team ahead of you in the table that's on top and you're trying to close that gap. It's sad that it requires that, because that's the performance and the work that we should be getting every match.
Yeah, I think that's some very, very fair points, and there's so much to pick through, so we will race straight into it. I should say afternoon to everybody in the in the chat box. 117 people joining us, actually no, 124 joining us at the moment, so afternoon to each and every one of you, and a special shout to two friends, one being OG in one part of Canada, and one being my friend Kelly in another part of Canada. They both got up, I believe, at 4 and 5 a.m. respectively, to watch this game. So have to give them a little nudge, a little shout. But yes, afternoon to all the chat box. A good discussion going on. Let's go straight into the game itself then. So it was a largely not forgettable first half, because I think it's fair to say it was a very good game of football. It was very tactically good. It was a real sort of a hipster's choice of game, if you will. So much going on. But it was very tactical, very, you know, I thought our pressing was really, really good. And a lot of people, I was quite surprised to see, were very negative about the first half. Tom, before we touch on the actual penalty incident, what did you make of the first half as a whole and how good our pressing game was? Because that's something that really lacked against Chelsea, for example.
Yeah, I was impressed with it. Because to be honest, with the lineup, I was speaking to John before the game, and I was more in the favour of starting Walcott, simply because even though Giroud hasn't been bad, simply because he hasn't scored in five games, and Walcott had a great game against Leicester when we played them away. So it'd been interesting to see that happen. I was happy that Cox started in, and now he's the match fit, and you really saw the difference he made. But the pressing was good all across the pitch. There's a lot of work ethic. Ox on that right hand side was pressing that back line really well. Sanchez was doing the same thing on the left hand side. We did let them in a few times. I didn't think it was the Leicester that have been in weeks gone by. I thought they were much more impressive in other games they've played. So, but they were still good. Take nothing too much away from them, and eventually we did get into a bit of a rhythm, and then unfortunately we let it go with a stupid decision from I think it wasn't a penalty. I'm sure we're going to go into that, but that sort of deflated us right before half time. But second half, I'm sure we're going to, but we came out and eventually did the business.
Yeah, we'll touch on the pen in a second. But Jace, what did you make of the lineup as well? I mean, obviously Oxlade-Chamberlain retained his place. Mertesacker came back in for Gabriel, who's got a knock of some description. We saw Welbeck back on the bench today. Were you happy with the lineup when it sort of took the field to start off with?
Yeah, I was happy with the lineup. You know, you got to I think was excited to see Ramcock in the midfield. Or Cockram, whichever one you prefer.
I like Cockram.
There we go.
Especially on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, especially on Valentine's Day, right?
Absolutely.
Boy, don't buy into that commercial shit, Jace. You said that yourself.
I only do when it suits my argument. But I was very pleased with it. I think Ox, with the goal, he definitely, you know, earned himself a starting spot. And I think, you know, moving on from that, you know, you saw Mertesacker come back into the side. Gabriel was out completely. I'm not sure. I tried to look on Twitter to see what all was going on there, but I couldn't figure out exactly why he was left out. I'm sure someone will inform me. But, no, I was very pleased with it. I think this is one of the strongest teams, and we're starting to see some depth now on the bench with you're able to bring Walcott, Campbell, Welbeck, guys like that on off the bench, and they can really make an impact in the game, and they give you tactical options as well, which we haven't always had this season, which will help. So very, very pleased with the lineup and the players we had coming back from injury on the bench.
Yeah, well said. And Jace, you've had excuse me, a little bit of feedback, good and bad, so I'm going to give you that right one before we go on. Okay. Touch of Alexis says, love Jason's screensaver in the background. There you go. And then on the flip side of the coin, our good friend Accident Laguna says, Jason, GMT is plus 10, hits the hardest. So stop moaning about whatever time you got up. Lazy. We should say at this point, speaking of lazy, right, Danny? Oh, no, you're not here, are you? Because you're in bed. Danny, honestly, he calls himself an Arsenal fan. He slept through that entire game. What a lazy shit. Anyway, yes, so let's touch on the penalty. So, Tom, you mentioned the situation and what happened in the lead up to the penalty right now. This is a tough one because in the modern game, it's probably a penalty. The issue I have is players that basically encourage or invent contact, and what I mean by that is players. The attacker in that situation is always 80-20 in favour, because if you run into a leg and you make it look like you haven't, you will get the pen. And that's what I think happened. So if it's against us, we're all screaming for it. You didn't think it was, did you? So what did you make of the whole incident?
Yeah, well, first of all, Morgan fouls Ozil for me on the edge of the box.
Yes.
He's climbing over the back of him. He doesn't even make contact with the ball. It's not like he's won the header after climbing over. He just climbed all over the back of our midfielder, and that's clear foul. The play goes on. Koscielny makes a wild challenge on Kante, which deservedly got punished with a yellow card. And then Vardy finds his way into our box. Monreal sticks his foot in. I wouldn't say it's an outstretched leg as much. It wasn't a wild fling of the leg. It was an outstretched leg to try and block the ball where the ball was. But Vardy touched the ball past him where it was. But he touches it as a perpendicular angle to the goal line. So he's going away from goal, but he doesn't follow the ball that he's played. His weight is on his left-hand side. He's not switched it onto his right to follow the ball. He goes straight into Monreal, going in a complete different direction from the ball. So say if the play was to continue, he's never going anywhere near the ball he's played. And so it's not a goal. Technically, it's still not a goal-scoring opportunity because he's never going to reach the ball that he's been made. For me, when it happened as well, you see Monreal, before there's even contact, try and retract his leg. He hasn't kept it in there. It's not like a lazy foot being left in. He's trying to retract that leg and get out of the way, but Vardy very cleverly and very modern-day footballishly won the penalty and scored it very well. So that you can't complain about it. I think you just had to move on, and we did.
That is a technical term, by the way. That will be in all modern press tomorrow, modern football-y. That is, I agree with that. I agree with you, and I think that's an excellent point, is if you leave a leg hanging there, then you deserve to be punished. The fact that you clearly see Monreal not just move his leg, his whole body to the side to attempt to move out the way. It depends what side of the art of football you fall on. Is the dark arts say it's clever from the striker. Personally, for me, a penalty should only be given when a player makes a deliberate move towards a player to bring him down, not when a player moves into a player to create contact. So for me, I'm with you, Tom, totally, I'm with you. Jason, it would be only fair of me to give you your view, and I also want to get your view on the Oxlade-Chamberlain-Kante handball, which for me was nowhere, ever, ever, ever a penalty, but some people thought it was. What did you make of both incidents?
The second one you referred to there, the Kante handball, not a penalty. It's amazing to me, and I'm not sure if this is an English thing or a European thing, but if you actually read the rules of the game, a ball can hit your hand. The hand has to be in an unnatural position. It has to be far enough away that it's deemed that you moved your hand to the ball. If a ball just hits your arm, and it's by your side, and you're within 2 yards, that's never going to be a handball. It's been given because referees are shit. That's the problem, is we've seen it given too many times now that we think that's what it is. But if you go and you actually read the rule book, then you will see that half of the time what we call a handball, and what players shout for, by rule book definition, is not a handball. On the overall penalty and everything, Tom was spot on, and I was up at my TV yelling at the fact that Ozil had just been bulldozed like an old building, and nothing. And then that puts us in some bad positions, and maybe don't stick your leg out there. I get it, whatever. Obviously, Vardy makes the most of it, and I don't know any striker in the world that isn't going to make the most of that. I don't. That's where we are now in the game. At the same time, the referee was in a decent position and could have easily seen that it was a very poor touch by our world-class Jamie Vardy, and it was taking him away from goal, and he clattered into Monreal as opposed to the other way around. But at the same time, we got the benefit of the doubt with the replay to see just how awful it was. Again, the referees don't, but that still doesn't excuse Atkinson for being grade D cock meat.
I think that's fair. Also, you have to take into consideration, of course, that Monreal clearly sort of trips over Jamie Vardy's Asbo tag. And you can't, that's tough. I mean, those tags are quite chunky around the ankle. It happens, I jest. But I agree with you both as well. I think there was a foul on Ozil. The only thing, and this is just in the interest of balancing it slightly, the only thing I would say about the Ozil thing is Mesut's got to be stronger. He's got to be stronger. When a player, can you imagine sort of a Petit, a Vieira with a player coming over the back of the lat? They would just make a sort of an arch and just tip him over the shoulder. I say it is a foul. I'm not disputing that. It is a foul. But it does bug me when some of our players, and Meza and Olivier Giroud are two of the worst, where they think it's a foul and then they step back and wait for the referee to give a decision. It's like, nah, you can't do that. You've got to play to the whistle. So, but I do agree, it was a foul, so I'm not disputing that. Now, in a weird way, that decision that Atkinson gave, and however bad he was, I wonder if that changed his influence on the second half, because we shall get to that. So we come in at the break, we're a goal down, people are burning their iPads and throwing selfie sticks at each other. It's carnage. And we needed a big second half. I think it's fair to say that. Tom, what did you make of the reaction? And in particular, again, not focusing on the negative, but we came out like a team that really wanted to prove a point, and almost too much in the way that we rushed things. How did you feel about the first sort of 20 minutes of the second half?
Yeah, well, it was clear that the manager had probably got stuck into them at half time. As soon as Leicester scored in the first half, I was watching my flatmate and I said, they've got what they needed, they've got that goal, they can now sit, and they're a very good defensive team and they can hold this for the rest of the game. Unfortunately, they couldn't do that because of the sending off. But I thought we came out of a purpose and a real vice and verve about our play. It was a lot more like clinical passing. There wasn't so much of the trying to do the fancy stuff. It was a lot more back to basics, try and get our rhythm going and really get a foothold in the match. And that's what we did. And I think we exploited it through Sanchez. A lot of people complained about Sanchez's performance, and it wasn't the best, but he certainly was integral on that left-hand side in getting into the box and gradually moving the team forward, because we have a bit of a problem with us is passing just round the box constantly back and forth. Sanchez does push us forwards nearer the box and nearer the goal, and you get more opportunities that way, whether he's the one who's scoring them or not. So he certainly stepped his game up in the second half. I was happy with what happened. I was happy with the red card. It was stupid. It was really League One, League Two stupid defending and choice making from Simpson. So I'm sure we'll go into that further. But I think at the end of the day, we did deserve to take the 3 points from the second half performance.
I would agree with that, and we will touch on. I mean, obviously, we'll touch on the referee. I mean, I don't want to turn this into a sort of a referee show, because you know we won the game, and I think we deserve to win the game on the balance of how much we pushed. But it's fair to say, Jace, that Atkinson certainly made run for his own back, maybe, but he booked Danny Simpson. Yeah. I'm just going to put this out there: if that's an Arsenal player that gets sent off for that, we are livid. It was beyond soft. Don't get me wrong. I actually think in a weird way that Simpson was the fall guy for a lot of other players. And as good as Kante was, and he was good, as good as a variety of players were for Leicester on the day, their constant fouling and constant need to break up our attacking play, which was clearly their game plan once they got in front. I think Simpson was the fall guy and obviously was sent off. What did you make of the second booking?
I've seen more egregious tackles not carded for a second yellow. But at the same time, like, they were just doing whatever they could. Grabbing, pulling, pushing, kicking, sliding, cursing, whatever they could to get us off of our game and break up our play. And I do think Simpson's was more, like you said, the accumulation of the team's fouls maybe than his. I also wonder if maybe Atkinson went back at halftime and maybe watched that replay of the penalty and then realized, oh, crap, maybe that wasn't. Maybe maybe thinking back on it, he thought, well, maybe it wasn't really a penalty and maybe it was a makeup call, which we've seen before. And at that point, though, he lost everybody on the pitch. Not a single player respected a single call he made the rest of the match, even if it was the right call. And the fact that he's just our stats with him in the last seven games he's reffed, we have one win, one draw, and five losses with three red cards against us. It's not a coincidence with him that there's controversy, and he does the way he handles. The matches just seems completely unprofessional. And we've seen it time and time again from him. And I'll give other, you know, we obviously, all Arsenal fans think that referees have it out for them, that there's this big conspiracy. I don't necessarily think that. I don't think we put ourselves in the best light to referees a lot of times. But Martin Atkinson is one of those people who I do think allows a bias into his decisions, and it's extremely unprofessional and extremely disheartening. And the fact, though, that we had that decision against Simpson go for us today was massive, because I do think, you know, like you said, we had come out in the second half and were really, really pressing and knew we had to get a goal. And I think with that card, it settled us down, but it focused us even more. And I think we were maybe just a half a step, not necessarily slower, but more in control from that point on the rest of the match. So it's just one of those things that he's so unprofessional, and there's always a game, and you can watch other games that he's been in. He seems like he's in it for the attention for himself than he is for the actual just calling of the match and refereeing the match to make sure it's played fairly. He seems to always want to interject his own personality into that, and that's where the true unprofessionalism is.
So Uriah Rennie syndrome, as I like to call it, if anyone remembers him from back in the day. Yeah, it was poor. I mean, there's so many things to cover in the second half, so I feel I do need to backtrack a little bit and, Tom, ask you about the other penalty incident with Riyad Mahrez. Again, for me, it's not a pen. I think he goes down very easily. I think this one was probably harder to judge than the Vardy one, because there's less of a corridor for him to go around Monreal. He is literally running, and Monreal is certainly in his way. However, sorry, do forgive me. That's a goal for Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Oh, my bet's getting.
But I mean, you know, there was definitely cause for a debate in it. But for me, again, wasn't a pen. I mean, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I think he sold him. He'd done Monreal in that with that piece of skill. The only thing was that he made the mistake of not getting enough contact to really get a penalty like the first one. The contact was very minimal. Monreal was certainly in his way, as you defined. There was a narrow corridor for him to go down with, and that contact is not enough to bring a grown man to the floor, even with momentum. It's not enough. Trust me, in a nightclub you get bashed around more than that, and I'm happy to stay on my feet a lot easily. So really, it was quite pathetic from Mahrez, and quite rightly he was given the abuse deserved by the rest of the Arsenal fans, I noticed after that. But I thought Mahrez was good in the game, just to give a little bit of credit to the guy. He was very skillful, good on the ball, good passing. And it's no wonder that he's being linked with some of the biggest clubs in the league, and he's been one of the best players this season. But certainly on this occasion, he didn't get what he wanted, and it was certainly the right decision that was made.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, you know, I don't know, I have an issue with a player who just sits on the floor and looks completely aghast as if he's been shot. It's like, you know, football is a contact sport, and there is going to be incidents where a knee comes together with another knee, an ankle clips. I mean, it's going to happen. I just, you know, it was a very, very good bit of skill. I can't deny that. But again, for me, I'm not sure. And I thought Mahrez was handled quite well on the day, actually, which we will touch on in a minute when we come to some individual performances. But Jace, let's go on to the equaliser. Theo Walcott, I've always said world class. I've always thought he's a brilliant finisher. I've, you know, always said he's got to play more. No, I haven't at all. I think it's fair to say we've all knocked him, and with some justification, I think it's fair to say. But the manager, and let's give him some credit here, made the change early. 60 minutes is a good half hour to come on. He took off Coquelin, which I thought was the right decision. Coquelin was clearly incensed and getting angrier. He obviously tried to get Mahrez off the pitch quite quickly, bless him. So on came Theo Walcott, and he got the goal. And that was the sort of finish that Theo Walcott is good at when he doesn't have time to think. What did you make of it?
No, you're spot on with all your comments right there. And I think when I mentioned earlier about players and working hard, I think this is the hardest we've seen Theo Walcott work in a long time. He was going after loose balls, and he was tracking back a little bit better when we didn't have the ball and trying to win it back, because he knew how important the game was. Plus, he knew how important we needed that result just due to the fact that we were down 10 men at home, which I, you know, people had asked, like, oh, you know, is a when we went down 10 men, is a draw good here? And a draw is not good at home against 10 men. Those are must-win situations, and Theo knew that. And he put in a great shift today, and you could start to feel that something was going to happen when he came on. And it was everybody knows that I really hate Giroud, right? But it was a perfectly headed ball put into his path by Giroud. Giroud took the weight off. It took a lot of the spin off it, and it just allowed it to perfectly set up for Theo to just slot it home. And those are shots that we've seen Theo and other players on our team miss. So all credit to him for finding his boots and his shooting boots and being able to put that in the back of the net. And that's when this was one of the games where when I'm at home, I tend to be a little more analytical when I watch the matches and sort of sit down. And ever since about the 30th minute of this match, I literally just stood in my living room. I didn't sit down. I just stood there and watched the match. And cursed and paced back and forth and everything. Because you could feel the crowd was behind the team, which was massively important. And with all the protests and everything going on, which I completely support, during the match you have to support the players and get behind them. They do feel it. They when you're buzzing, they can feel that on the pitch. And so it was great to hear just a raucous crowd on an earlier kickoff on a Sunday morning. And you could see that go into the players. And when Theo scored that, it was just a huge relief. And I think not that we all knew, but I thought we all felt like we could go on and pick up a full 3 points from this match now. So it was vitally crucial that he do that in a great way. And he actually displayed some leadership as well at times, getting in Atkinson's ear and getting on some of the other Arsenal players throughout the match. So really good to see him step up on such a big stage. And people are going to go, what's against Leicester? I don't care. They're top of the league right now, and they're not stumbling like everybody has said that they would. And they showed us today that they are a class and quality side who can put up a fight and not just go in somewhere and sit back and defend, but they can go somewhere and attack. And they're not afraid of anybody. And to see the performance we did today, and I think Theo was really the one who embodied the overall performance with what he did today on the pitch. And you got to give him credit because those are the type of things that in the past we've been missing, but today we solidified, and that I think gives a lot of people a lot of hope for the rest of the season.
Yeah, when you come on as a substitute, all you're expected to do is make an impact in the game. And boy, did he do that. Fair play to him. And indeed, probably could have had a couple of other efforts as well, had his touch been better. So fair play to him. And you know what? Players are not above criticism, and sometimes they need to work harder to overcome issues in their game. We'll touch on somebody else who's done that in a second. To quote the Reverend Raj, a great point about the atmosphere, Jace. Obviously, it's an early kickoff. It would have been very easy for us to have all turned up and been half asleep, but the crowd were excellent, particularly when we needed them in that last 20 minutes. And Reverend has quoted in our chat box here, well worth having an ice cold wind blowing up your jacuzzi for 2 hours. So God bless Mr. Raj Patel. And yes. Obviously he is, you know, he's getting up there in age a bit, so he feels the cold. So, you know, bless him. Love you, Raj. But let's go on to that sort of last 20 minutes then, Tom. So back in the game, sort of level at 1-1. The thing I really liked was that we got a bit of composure back. There was a bit of it almost forcing it for that 20 minutes, and we got the leveler, and it was almost like we were able to just compose ourselves and go again. What did you sort of make when we were getting into the last 10 minutes? I mean, we had missed, it has to be said, a few good chances. We got Welbeck on. Could you have foreseen what was going to happen? Because that sort of last 5-10 minutes, it didn't look like it was coming, did it?
No, I thought it was ending 1-1 all day long, simply because we just weren't taking the chances we were given. We were given so many. Ramsey had a couple. Sanchez had two golden ones that you really should have put away. Giroud had a couple of chances, headers over the bar. He did that in the first half as well. And really, I was like, oh, it's just one of those games, and we're just not going to take our chances. And we did get a bit of composure, but I thought the composure we actually gained was with our final pass. Like, the final pass, the player who's going to make that shot really did improve throughout the match. With actually Walcott coming on, the one that he played into Sanchez in the middle of the box where he just completely miskicked, really should have buried that. And the chance that when I thought it was this is 1-1 was when Schmeichel pulled off the absolutely fantastic save against Giroud, and I was like, okay, that's it, this is 1-1. That was the chance that we had. But no, we kept pressing, we kept going for it, and you have to say that it's because it's of a Leicester player that's not been playing this season, if that really does sum up. If you want to go Leicester, probably going to drop off. Probably not, because the player that actually cost them the game was a player that's not been playing in Vasilevsky and stupidly gave away a free kick right in the last minute where he really didn't need to. And it was a brilliant ball from Ozil, and Welbeck got the deftest of touches to finish it. And yeah. All hell broke loose, not just in the pitch, but my living room, Jason's living room, and I'm sure your living room as well, Chris. So I think we can all be happy about that. And either my flatmate have got a right punch in the arm, but yeah, certainly I was very happy indeed.
I feel sorry for my cats. They go through this time and time and time again. They look at me like, what have I done? I'm sorry. It's like, no, it's not you. Yeah, as they go sprinting out for my, cover. But
my wife and my dog looked at me like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah. I get that an awful lot. And I don't care, so fuck them. But no, it was a real sort of outpouring. Great point on the free kick, Tom. That was... I thought the game had gone when Mesut put the corner in. It was a poor corner. I thought that's the game done. And then ironically, I don't know. I think it was Harry on Twitter, and he said when the guy came on, he's like, on comes Zangief from Street Fighter 2. He does look like him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it was just the most ridiculous challenge to give away in that area of the pitch.
I like the guy as well. He's impressive. When he has played in the FA Cup, because I went to watch him in the Capital One Cup, and he was excellent in that game. So it was out of character, but yeah.
And on a day, Jace, where again, I'm going to keep the show positive because I don't want to pick on players. But on a day when Mesut Ozil was, I think it's fair to say, largely anonymous. It was definitely not one of his best days at the office. When we needed it most, one of our biggest players got the delivery spot on. And I don't think enough credit has been given. In the commentary, they gave it credit. But that header from Welbeck, that is a fantastic... Yeah. I mean, to get that contact and to loop it, and literally, you know, if he'd got slightly too much on that, it's over the bar and gone behind... It was such a good header, wasn't it, in that moment of a game?
No, it really was, and I don't think it's anything that we expected from him. That's not a touch that you see a player playing his first match in, what, 9-10 months? Great. That's not the kind of touch that you see them making it, on their first appearance. And it shows you the potential and really sort of why we bought him and why United thought he was a great player for them for so long as well. And just the Mesut Ozil in-swingers are just a thing of beauty. Like, they really are. They're so hard to defend, either from a corner or from a wider set piece like today. And it shows you his quality. And the fact that he did have a bad game. I'm a huge Ozil defender. I absolutely love the guy. He had a bad game. Sanchez as well had a bad game. I think our two most expensive players probably had their worst games of the season today. While all at the same time, though, this is why they're in the squad, because they can produce those moments of quality that can earn you points exactly as it did today. And it's not, I don't think, a lot of people say that slating a player is negative. It's not a negative to say a player had a bad game if he had a bad game. He had a bad game. There's nothing wrong with saying that. We can't be so hypersensitive that we can't criticize when it's due. I love Ozil. He's had a bad game. Everybody knows that I love Giroud. He's had bad games this year. Sanchez today was a one-trick pony today, just trying to dribble through people, and I've never seen somebody run into defenders more than Sanchez did today. But that doesn't mean that they're not quality either. They just had a bad day at the office, and I think we've all had that. And the fact that you can have a bad day at the office and produce the game-winning assist to put you within 2 points of top of the table, I'll take it. I'll take it every day of the week.
Absolutely. Well said. Well
said. Can I just make a quick point?
You can indeed.
No.
And... What?
Of course.
But no, I have to say, one player I was impressed with, and I was actually speaking to someone before the match, was Chambers, and he said Chambers should be starting before Mertesacker. And I said, it's risky because of his inexperience, and he's coming into an absolute, it's a huge game to throw him into when Pear is really good in ways that he knows is mental fragility, not fragility, mental assurance, and the way he knows the pitch. But when he came on, he did the job, and a lot of people, I saw when he kicked the ball off in the 91st minute, everyone's going mad. And all that made me think was at the other end of the pitch, when you watch Man United lose it to Chelsea with Depay being an absolute idiot and making the wrong decision, and Chelsea got the under pitch and score. If Chambers does the wrong decision there and decides to do something with the ball, turn, he might make a mistake. He's not the most experienced of defenders, and pass it to one of their strikers who could have lost us the game or even just continued with the draw. But he didn't. He passed it out. If in doubt, you put it out. And then we got the ball back, mm-hmm. and we were out the other end and scored. So yeah. I've got no complaints about Chambers, and Chambers was excellent throughout the game.
Yeah, well said. And we will touch on some individual performances. Mm-hmm. I should just say again, really fantastic. 206 viewers right now. We've been as high as 230 mm-hmm. as well. So thank you all very much for joining us. I know we're not much to look at, but, you know, hey.
Speak, what do you, speak, what for, you, hey, speak, I, yeah, speak for you and me, Chris.
Well, you know, I had a haircut this week, Jace. I'm looking fresh, bruh.
Nice.
But... yes, so thank you all to join us. If you are having trouble with the feed, I'm having the same thing. Just refresh your browser and it should come up if you're desperate to look at our faces. So just refresh, people. But thank you all for joining us. And the chat is alive with happy people. It's good to see. So carry that on. Let's talk about some individual performances. I'll come back to Callum Chambers. I do want to touch on him in a minute separately, but Jason, I'm going to start with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, if I may. He was deployed in two very different roles today, and I thought we saw two very different sides of him. He started the game on the right hand side, and you know he was okay. He didn't do too much, you know, nothing particularly stand out. But when we saw him move into that central area when Coquelin was substituted, I thought he was fantastic. His energy, his drive, his decision-making, and his composure for a player who's lacked confidence. Yeah. What did you make of it, particularly when he went into the center?
No, it's amazing what happens when you play a player in their preferred role. I think that's what we saw. That's where he has said he's more comfortable. That's where Wenger has said he's more comfortable. And we've seen the performances that he can put in there. Let's not forget that Palace performance a couple years ago when he literally controlled almost 75, 80 minutes of that match from that position. And I think sort of him coming into that position and already being established in the game and having a little bit of form, but having it his creativity from there, I'm trying to think of the best word for that. I don't want to say it was stunted, but limited being on the right. And then all of a sudden you saw sort of the light turn on. He was moved to the middle of the park. And the creativity, the distribution, the movement without the ball, the movement with the ball, just really showed why he's still in the side and why we still have the chance or why Wenger still sees him in that role. And it's great that we have that versatility as well, that we can just drop him back there. I think that's something that you know, I sort of briefly spoke on earlier, was just the depth and the versatility of player that we can bring on the pitch and have fill in really any of the sort of the front sort of five or six roles. We've got those options, and that's important. And you see what you can do when you move a player who has some confidence, like Chambers coming off, or excuse me, Chamberlain coming off the goal last week, and now coming in and getting the start, but then being moved in the middle of a match where your mind frame changes. But it was good that he had sort of already had a little bit of that of the game underneath him. I think it's when he starts and he doesn't have that, and he tries to get that feel for it. He already had the feel for this match and knew exactly what we needed to do, and he executed it well when he was given that chance.
Yeah, I'm pleased for him because, you know, as I've said on this show many times, I don't like, you know, bashing players. You know, as you rightly said, some deserve criticism, and, you know, he has deserved some of his criticism, but he was very good today in that role. And speaking of midfield roles, Tom, I've been openly critical of Aaron Ramsey at times on this show. Just in, you know, I'm never convinced about his what's the word? When he's playing centrally, I don't know whether you can... Yeah, I don't know whether you can always trust him in there. What I saw today In particular, when the pressure was on, when it really mattered, particularly that second half, I thought he gave a captain's performance, in truth. From the central midfield area, you know, he was aggressive in the tackle. You could see him G'ing up, you know, his fellow players. And his engine really came to the fore for that last sort of 20, 25 minutes. What did you make of his performance today?
Yeah, I was impressed. A lot of people did slate him off, actually, on what I was surprised about. I think that was more because of the chances that he missed more than what he did on the pitch. But his passing was assured. As you said, he was G'ing the players up. It's nice that even though he wasn't completely his normal self with the fancy flicks and the outrageous pass attempts, that there is still some of that in there. I mean, you saw someone who was trying to lay Giroud off down the channels, and it's great running from Giroud, but still his assurance in the passing and the way that I felt that he had a lot more freedom with Koch in the side as well, if you think that, because with Flamini there's a little more vulnerability in the midfield, but he definitely felt that he could push a bit further forward. He was always calling for the passes, whether that was to bring it across, which for me is a bit of a pet peeve because I hate seeing it being passed around the edge of the box, but he was always available for a pass. Yeah. But it was a captain's performance. We've been saying for a while now that Ramsey's one of the players you could see being a captain of Arsenal in the future. I never want to see the guy leave the club. He's just a unique player in the drive that he has, mm-hmm. and in just the character the guy's got, really. The personality of player that he is, in that he's willing to do things, and things don't really get him down, things don't bother him. Like, the fans would be booing him a lot, but they've done that all through his career, really, other than the season where he really smashed it. And he just moves on, picks himself up, plays passes, does what he needs to do, and carries on. And there's a reason why a world-class manager is picking him to be the driving force in our midfield.
Go on, Jess.
The point I have on Ramsey that, and I know a lot of people prefer Santi, but the one reason I feel if I were the manager, I would pick Ramsey over Santi is one, the dynamism that he brings. He's more direct in his play, but I think the ceiling for Ramsey is higher, especially now, than it is for Santi. And what Ramsey can do potentially is greater than what Santi. And Santi, this is not a slate against Santi. He has become the Arteta-like metronome in the midfield, where you know exactly what you're going to get game in and game out, and it's just pure consistency. But at the same time, I feel like Ramsey offers us more. Like I said, through his dynamism, he's able to run at players a little bit better with the ball. I do think his passing could be slightly a little more accurate. Santi is a little bit better at playing to a preferred foot. But when you see what Ramsey can do, and a lot of people are slating him saying he wasn't great, I actually think he was one of our better players even in the first half. But you just look at everything that he can do. And based off of potential and pure talent and what the possibilities are when he has the ball, that to me is why I prefer him beside Coquelin more than Santi. Is just, again, with Santi, you know what you're going to get, and it's not a bad thing at all. He's a great player. But Ramsey just, he will come up with that moment of brilliance out of nowhere that creates something. And he didn't do that today, but I still think he was very good, and that's sort of why I prefer him in that role.
Yeah, but I mean, I personally sit on the Santi side, mm-hmm. just because I think he's been massively missed, like really, really missed. Mm-hmm. But that said, I'm quite happy with Ramsey on the right, and I know a lot of mm-hmm. people are not happy with that, but I think at least if you've got him on the right hand side, he can still do all the things he did today, but from a right position. But when he's in the side and he's central, and as I say, I'm surprised mm-hmm. a lot of people are very negative on Ramsey today. Mm-hmm. I thought he was much, much better today. Fair play to him. Tom, you've kind of touched on it briefly already, but I want to give Callum Chambers an awful lot of credit here. This is a player who came on at halftime in a game that we were losing, facing the most informed striker in world football ever, of course. You know, four times the player Messi ever will be in Jamie Vardy, obviously. Catch, yeah, absolutely. The man who's going to lead England to the group stage elimination at the Euros, so good for him. I thought he just played really, really well. He was assured, he was calm, he didn't panic, his decision-making was good. I think he's far better technically than a lot of people give him credit for. I just think this guy is. I've been seeing the potential for a while without it bursting through. Today, said to me, yeah, that this guy will be fine. Give him games, and he will get there. And what did you make of his performance?
Yeah. I mean, on top of what I've already said about him, I think if anything, and what you said about the technical quality that he has, it highlights why we let Debushi go. I think that if Wenger didn't think that Chambers could cut it anywhere across the back two in the middle or the right back position, we probably would have kept Debushi. But he's good on the ball, and I think he can play a pass. I think he's solid at the back. There's a reason why he's a £16 million or £12 million. I'm not sure which one around it was with Debushi and him. But it's proved why we paid so much money for him and how annoyed Southampton were to lose the guy. I think that when he came on, he was solid. He was good on the ball. He was calm. It didn't look like we missed Koscielny, which I thought was what really stood out. Because sometimes Koscielny can, even though I know he's a world-class centre-back, can annoy me sometimes when he does drive the ball forwards and then he realises, oh, what do I do now? I'll lay it off to Monreal just to the left of me, and then Monreal's stuck. So it puts
goes a bit Vermaelen-y at times.
Yes, exactly. So Chambers is more assured. He's more has the more cock mindset, where the cock mindset, that's an awful thing. Cockerland mindset. We'll actually go with the full name there. where he does sit in and will stay in his centre back position because he knows that at the end of the day you've got Metazaka behind you and you've got Vardy as a striker, even though we know that he's the best striker in the world. He could get past Metazaka with pace. I think that's a pretty given. So the reason he knew he was sitting back. But no, I think he's the future. Jason put it in the chat earlier on, I noticed, and he's definitely a future centre-back or even right-back at this club. Or even defensive midfield, he's a versatile player. So we'll have to wait and see.
Put him in goal. We can do it all. That's fancy. sorry to shoot on your chips, Tom, but Hamburg have just equalised. Jace, I also want to touch on, and by the way, fair play to Chambers. I mean, again, you know, he's another player that has taken a lot of stick, and I thought it was only fair to highlight in a game that he could easily have come on and had an absolute mare today, especially as a substitute when you're, let's be honest, when you're a sub, you don't expect to come on when you're a centre-back on the bench. You know, you're not thinking, I will come on. You're there if you get an injury, and I'm told it's a dead leg for Koz, so hopefully he'll be back. And I'm not going to go into detail too much, but I thought as well, Per Mertesacker, very solid today. Had one or two moments where he sort of slightly overran it, and I went, ooh! But his experience...
I think we actually have a question on Per.
Do we? Then rock away.
On Twitter, from our good friend Ellis Mel. Is Per's lag... I will present this to you, Chris. You don't ever get asked questions on here. He says, is Per's lack of pace really the issue some people make it out to be?
No. No, it's not. And somebody made this very point, I think, from memory, it was Adrian Clark on Arsblog's pod this week, I think. I may not be right there. But if you look at the amount of goals that Mertesacker is beaten for, purely pace-wise, they are very few and far between. Mm-hmm. When he's beaten is when we push too high as a team and the ball gets played in behind him. And people are saying about the Chelsea goal, he wasn't beaten. You know, that cost us sending off that goal. That wasn't Per's lack of pace. It was the fact we pushed way too high up the pitch and the ball was played into an area where Koz and Mertesacker should have been 10 yards deeper. So I don't think it's his pace that's the issue. I think that sometimes the two of them maybe just need to be a little bit closer together, and I mm-hmm. think maybe they need to communicate a bit better. The partnership is fine, and the thing is with Mertesacker is that you've got quick fullbacks on either side, so especially Bellerin, who can get in and cover when Mertesacker goes forward. I think the only time I really, really worry about is when he comes too far forward with the ball. And he is a very good passer of the ball, so I know why he does it, but I'd rather Koscielny does that. Because if Per comes anywhere further than halfway between the halfway line and the 18-yard box, he is going to struggle to get back. And I'm surprised more teams don't try and get him facing his own goal more often than they do, to be honest. But, you know, the guy is a fantastic leader, and I know people say, oh, you don't see him talking about it on the pitch, blah, 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 blah. And Chase, I'll come back to you in a second to make the point you've just written there. I agree with you on the goalkeeper. But it's a 2-1 Hamburg, by the way, for everyone who's watching. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't get me wrong, Per Mertesacker is never going to be the most cultured Gerard Piqué, Rafa Varane-esque character. But would I rather have him at the club, you know, for the next year, 2 years, bringing through the likes of Callum Chambers, Gabriel? Damn right I would. That experience is, you can't buy that. And by the way, John Terry never had much pace, and he wasn't a bad defender, was he? Jace, you wanted to make a point on Petr Cech as well, and it's an excellent point, I think, if you're going to say what I think you're going to say. You're on mute, by the way.
Let me take myself off of mute like an idiot. I don't think it's the pace so much. I do think what it is it's he feels like he can get more forward with Cech behind him. Cech is much better with the ball at his feet. The defense is much more assured, and so he does push further up. And I think that's where it is his positioning, because of his confidence in the keeper that we have now. It is so much better. And the reason they have that confidence is because you saw two extremely different types of saves today with Cech, but two all-important saves in the Vardy header in the first half, where he had to dive to his right, his right or his left, extremely, extremely fast and get down to block that header from going in. And that's a ball that I think Ospina lets in. That's a ball that I think Chesney lets in. That's a ball that I think probably 95% of goalkeepers in the world let in. It would bounce off their arm and go into the back of the net or something like that. And then you see his save against Conte on that little curler where he had to make just a split-second decision when he realized the ball was about to. I don't know if you saw in England or not, but we had the replay from behind the goal, and the ball was going into the net. And he was able to just palm it away. It's those types of saves when he doesn't actually have to do a lot that speak volumes to this. And it's those when he's only tested one or two times a game, but he comes up with it. And I think he's just as responsible for our 3 points today as Mesut Ozil or Danny Welbeck. And he has come up huge for us time and time again. Just think where we would be without him, with an Ospina or a Chesney or a Macy or an Almunia type in goal. It's just unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, your robots have returned, Jace. What's going on? No, I think you make an excellent point on Cech. And again, you know, 100% hold my hands up. I was convinced Cech would be a good signing. I just wasn't sure whether we needed him. I was just had my sort of, I don't even know what the word is. I was skeptical, I guess, is a good way of putting it. But, you know, 100% hold my hands up. You know, he has just been fantastic. And that's a really good point you make about the little tip around from Kante's, because yeah. I think a Chesney, an Ospina, any lesser goalkeeper, yeah. I think maybe gets their footwork wrong, flaps, you know, tips it into their own net. Cech just a very calm, oops, actually you heard a very clear keeper shout, and then he just quickly adjusted his feet and tipped it over like he was hanging out the washing. It was just like very, very composed, and that has to be said. So, no, all round, very, very good defensively today, and fair play. I just want to also just have a final word before we go to questions. Let's have a bit of love for Danny Welbeck. Jace, you made the point earlier on that this is a man who's been out for 10 months. You know, some people were mocking him. Oh, he'll never come back. He'll never play again. Why did we sign him? Blah, 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 blah. One goal doesn't make a career, but that's a pretty big goal. The way he celebrates, you know, obviously the victory. I just think we should have a little kind of circle jerk and say welcome back, Danny, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I'm 100% fine. Hopefully my robots are not as back as much as Danny Welbeck is back.
Oh, they are. They're still there.
Oh, no. I don't know how to get rid of them.
Hang on. Try again. Try now.
Okay. Well, what I will say,
good so
far. And I'll say it very slowly so that the robots don't get me, is the fact that Danny Welbeck is never going to be a world-class striker. He's never going to be a player who gets us probably 20 to 25 goals a year. But what he's going to do is he's going to create, in certain games, whether it's the games he starts or games off the bench, he's going to create a different dynamic for us up front or out wide. With pace, he can play with his back to goal, he can turn with the ball, and he's a very good header of the ball. And those are types of things that we can bring into games. He's part of that versatility off the bench that we have now. And you saw exactly what it did, and he made a difference in the match. And it's just so rewarding to see something like that happen for a player like him to be able to go through and score that goal. And it could be the goal. Not trying to you know put any jinxes on us, but it could be the goal that could go on to help win us the title. And I would be more than happy if that was his last contribution here. That being said, it's nowhere near his last contribution.
No, I think I think he could be very, very vital, as I wrote in a blog a little while ago, and I know a couple of our guys from ABW have done the same. So, and Tom, just have a quick word on Welbeck as well. I mean, as Jay said, you know, 10 months out, I don't think many people expected him to be on the bench today. I think we were all looking towards that FA Cup tie, but he's come on today. You know, that goal alone could have such a big say in this title race, and fair play for him to working hard to get back to fitness.
Yeah, certainly. I think you were asked the question a lot earlier in the season, who's going to be the better player to come back, Welbeck or Wilshere? And I certainly said Welbeck, certainly because more offensively we were struggling to find goals, and he was so good for us last season when he was playing, and he was that extra bit of vice in the team, that left-hand side with a bit of height and pace. I mean, the game against Galatasaray in the Champions League last season, he absolutely smashed it getting that hat-trick, and it was an amazing performance. So it's just another option. It's always the manager dilemma between playing Giroud or Walker up front. He's now got another option, which is totally capable of playing for us as a number nine. But also we can play on the left. He can give Sanchez a rest if Sanchez ever needs one. Sanchez can go out to the right and give someone else a rest, and Welbeck can play on the left. It's a very versatile team going forward that we've got, and I think that Welbeck coming back just enforces that even more.
Yeah, well said. And let's just say, right at this point in time, I sat here in this chair, literally this chair, 2 weeks ago when we lost to, who did we lose to Chelsea, and there was lots of people, titles over, games done, you know, Leicester won at City, and I sat in this chair and I said, beat Bournemouth, beat Leicester, everything will change. And I hate to call myself Nostradamus, but seriously, just we've just got to keep the faith. And you know what, coming on and doing this show is far more enjoyable talking to people that are happy than sitting here moaning and groaning every week. So, you know, when there's criticism to be handed out, we will hand it out in bucketfuls sometimes. But, you know, all we did today is we turned up when it mattered most. Okay, maybe not for periods of the game, but when it really mattered the most, we got that little bit of luck and we got that winning goal, and that could prove so, so important.
I think it shows that it's amazing how this title race is going and how much there is still to go. And you can think of the difference between what two games have done, how big of a difference 2 point gap and 8 point gap could have been from two matches, and that big of a gap could have been made up between us. And a lot of people saying it was over, and that personally, even if it was an 8 point gap, that's three matches and there's plenty of games to go. Even if it was 8 points, and you could easily come back, this season's got a long way to run and there are a lot more shocks to come.
Yeah, everything rude everything said, nothing has changed, Chris. Have a look at the table, mate. Have a look at the table. A lot's changed, and I tell you one of the biggest things that's changed today: momentum. Because Leicester are now going to realise that when you're at the top, everyone wants to shoot at you, and now we'll see how good they are. Now we'll see if they can go to the quote-unquote smaller clubs. Now we'll see what they're made of. And in fairness, in the interest of fairness, we'll see what Arsenal are made of, because we now have to win realistically 90% of the games to the end of the season. But we'll deal with them as we get there. We should also touch on Liverpool yawn. We should also touch on the game later on today, and indeed Leicester as a whole. Do we see this as the turning point for Leicester? Do we see them dropping off? And also, what result do we want from Spurs Man City, other than some sort of horrific shower of acid? Jace, what would you like from that game, and what do you think about Leicester now going forwards?
I still think they are. Leicester are a force to be reckoned with. I thought they would drop off already at this point, and they have not. And just because they have a game today that they lose 2-1 away from home with 10 men doesn't mean that they're not still title challengers. They certainly are. I hesitate to underestimate Spuds. And I would probably much rather see them win than City win, but I think a draw would be ideal, most likely. Just because I don't ever want to put myself in a chance to cheer for Tottenham, but I think that City are bigger threats than Tottenham.
Fair enough. Tom, what do you reckon, Leicester, and what result do you want from
Result in the afternoon, either a City win or a draw. Don't fuck off, Spurs.
Is the right answer.
Yeah, and in terms of Leicester, I don't think they're dropping off, personally. I think they've got an excellent manager who's evolved through the season. The best example of that is the changing of Dalat and Schlupp for Simpson and Fuchs. That's an amazing management decision that's really got them through. I think they've built a team really under the radar. They got the creative players of Mahrez, and now they've brought in Demarai Gray as another one. They've got the striking pace of Vardy. They've got the industrialness of Kante in midfield, and they've got a back two partnership which they've kept for most of the season, which have now really grown together, and then put that behind a goalkeeper who pulls off saves like he did against Giroud today on a consistent basis. You've really got a team that's going to push for the title, and I think top four for them is pretty much guaranteed, which is going to be amazing to see Leicester in the Champions League at season. I really cannot wait to see that. So yeah, best of luck to them, but fuck them in terms of the title. I want it.
Yeah, absolutely. And for my money as well, when asked whether you want City or that lot to win, the answer is always City. You never ever want Spurs to win anything.
So what if City win today and they beat us by 2 points in the league off of today's result?
I think personally, Jace, that City are so inconsistent. I think there's so many fractures in that camp. I think the Guardiola thing, although it shouldn't affect them, I think it is. I think they've got too many players that they rely on far too heavily. If you look at Aguero, if you look at Kompany, I just don't think they're going to have the consistency. I also expect them to go quite far in the Champions League, which I think will have an effect, and it's another reason why I think Spurs will ultimately drop off, because I think Europa League will have a big say in their season. And I also don't think they're actually that good. Never will.
That's why I sort of said I don't care. I fear Aguero and Silva and Kompany more than I fear Dele Alli and Kane and Vertonghen.
And they've won it, Jace,
Exactly. That's why I don't like. Tottenham will mess up. They are not used to this pressure that they're about to put themselves under by being this far at the table with the young player. They're a very young team.
Yeah.
And that is why I'm not cheering for it. I want a draw personally. But at the same time, I fear City more just because I do playing on Thursday Sunday is harder than playing on. Sunday, Wednesday. I know that doesn't, or Saturday, Wednesday. That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to some people, but to me, the Thursday trips are just God, especially when they're going to, Kamchatka in Russia or whatever it's called.
I tell you what would be really interesting as well is how the. And I know a lot of people asked, one of the questions earlier on was, can we discuss Carragher and Henry's comments on Sky? I haven't seen them, so,
Nor have I.
Don't forget, guys.
Basically, that's what they said.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are paid to do a job. I mean, you can't have Thierry Henry sat there in an Arsenal shirt and an Arsenal scarf going, "Wee, I love it." I mean, he's got to be impartial, and sometimes he's got to say things that he might not even agree with himself. So don't let it get you, guys. But what will be interesting to see is the. I thought Manchester City got a very easy ride last week. I thought against Leicester they were so poor. So many poor players, so many poor performances, and they did what Arsenal have been accused of for so many years. They bottled it massively, and I'll be very interested to see how the media reacts to Arsenal not bottling it today and showing the metal that we've got and actually proving that, we've had a bad run, but we can win the big one. And it'll be very, very interesting to see how the media react to our win today, particularly if City drop the ball again later on. We shall see. Right, let's get some questions before we shoot out of here. And again, apologies for people that have had trouble with the stream. Unfortunately, it's run by Apple, therefore is a bit poo. Right, first one then. Everything rude, everything. Tom, is Kante better than what we've got?
It's difficult to say at the moment, simply because Cock's been out for so long. I think Giggity. I'm going to try and compare this on Cock's... play last season, because I can't really, and the start of this season as well. Cock was amazing in the last season. Cock was brilliant at the start of this season before he got injured, and he's come back today and was also excellent. I personally think that I'm actually going to compare it in terms of a national team sense. I think they've got an as equal chance of getting into the French team, both of them. But I think the one that's more likely is Kanté, simply because I don't think Cock's that fashionable in France, if I'm right in saying. But I wouldn't swap them, if that's the sort of question, and I wouldn't rather have Kanté than Cock. It's just that simple.
I agree with that. Kante's been fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Mm. And trust me, as a guy who had seen him play at Cannes, I know Arsene Wenger's getting some criticism saying, you know, oh, he knew about him, he didn't sign him. Listen, at Cannes, he was an average, decent midfielder. He was nowhere near the player that he has developed into. My God, Villa are shit in the bed. You know, he's fantastic, and I don't think he'll be at Leicester next season if this carries on, because I think the club, possibly even abroad, will look at his industry and his athleticism and think we could do with a bit of that. So, you know, fair play to him. He's been a fantastic signing. But for every one that you gamble on, one comes off, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 don't. So fair play. He's been very good. I should give a shout to Jukester as well, who sent me the question about the Ramsey Ox pivot. I do just want to give him a mention because I know he's not with us live at the moment. Mark Labruna, Jace, wants to know, we've actually covered that. Do we want a City win? So yeah, there you go, Mark. We've covered your question. Carl, does Welbeck start against Hull? For me, yes, absolutely. Both of you guys agree? Or not?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Would you start him, Tom? Okay. Should we introduce him slowly? Should we still have him on the bench? I'd throw him in.
Yeah, so would I. I think you should throw him in. I think if you're going to look at a lineup, I think you should throw him. I think you should give Joel another chance to show why he's been good. Iwobi should be playing, because when he's actually played, he's been very good for us. Give Sanchez a rest. Give Ozil a rest. Give Giroud a rest, definitely. And start Walcott, actually, as well. I'd start Walcott, because he came on well, and I think he deserves a start and get some game time in his legs. So, yeah.
Yeah. Fair points. Samit Desai, any news on the COS injury? Nothing as of yet. We don't know, but apparently it's a dead leg, so should be okay. Uwade Uyigui. I've butchered that. Uwade, I am now going to call you Jeff. Jeff wants to know, does Danny take the weight off of Giroud for the next match? So we've kind of covered that, but I want to expand on it slightly. Mm-hmm. Jace, do you think that this pressure or puts more pressure on Giroud to keep performing? And by the way, in a game where a lot didn't go for him today, he worked so hard.
Yeah. I don't think it puts any pressure on or off him. I think what it does is it allows him to rest, because we've all mentioned in the last month that he looks knackered. And it allows him to rest before Barcelona, which he needs to be extremely influential in that match, holding the ball up and linking up our midfield. So I do think that we need to at least give that guy a good 60 minutes at Hull to be able to spell Giroud and take a well needed rest and be able to rest up for such an important game against such a quality side.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a really good option to have. Another good question, actually, from Jeff. Mahrez or Kanté, who do you get, if any? I'm going to answer this one quickly. For me, controversially, I'm going to say neither. And the reason I'm going to say that is I think we've got what Leicester have in Kanté and Coquelin. You know, to a slightly different player. I think if you sign Kanté, he needs to play, and I don't think he gets ahead of Coquelin. And Mahrez, it's not that I don't rate him. I think he's had a fantastic season, but other players have had fantastic seasons before, and his rise to...
Oh, like I said.
Oi, behave. He scored today. Shush your noise. But that's a very good example. You know, players have good seasons. I want to see him do it again. And I just think that if Arsenal are in a position in the summer to get potentially a very, you know, a proven player or a player of a higher level who has done it consistently for a couple of seasons, I just wonder. That said, I think if you put Mahrez into our system, with our players, I think he could have the potential to get even better. So it's a tough one, but Jace, you want to come in on this?
I'm sorry, what was the... my wonderful wife on Valentine's Day is...
Oh, you're roboting again.
I'm roboting and I'm trying to get another drink.
Ah, okay, you'll be back. Stop roboting.
I'll be back. Send it back to Tom and then I'll come back and I'll be listening and more lubricated.
Okay. it's a damn robot. So we thought we had it sorted this week as well. Carlito Alguna makes a fairly good point. Ramsey had a fantastic season and has not repeated it. I mean, yeah, you could say that. A different role, slightly, arguably. But, yeah, I can see that point. Okay, couple more, and then we'll shoot off. Boy Tendio, if Arsenal wins a title, will we all finally accept that we aren't in the manager's seat because we know fucking nothing? Great point, Boy Tendio. Tom, what do you make of that?
Yeah, this job we do is pointless. I think if he wins the title, it's because he deserves to win the title and he's made the correct decisions throughout the season and he's had the best team throughout the season. The best team wins the league. It's just as simple as that. So the people slating decisions, I think I know he's not one of the most popular names in the world, but Mems actually tweeted out a good point saying that I'm a big advocate of slating Wenger when he makes mistakes, but when he does make the right decisions in terms of subbing on Walcott and Welbeck, it's something that we need to praise and accept that he's made the right decision and go forward from that. So I think that even though Wenger is certainly susceptible to making mistakes, I'm not saying the guy's perfect, but I think that he's made some good decisions throughout the season. And if we win this league, it will be because of the team he's made, the team he's got, and the decisions he's made.
Yeah, great point. A quick sidebar, my mate Kaz has just messaged me and said, look at Liverpool celebrating, it's like kicking a poorly kitten. they've just got a sixth. Ah, hilarious. Honestly, they are running around, although Kolo Touré, in fairness, he can celebrate forever because, yeah. But honestly, it is like watching a small orphan being kicked to death by a group of tigers. It's really painful. Poor old Remy Gard. Another question. Lazy Python, will El Nene ever get a start with everyone coming back from injury? Don't jinx it, Lazy, don't jinx it. I'll answer that one quickly. I think he will, but I think maybe he's not quite ready. I think that's why you're seeing him being introduced from the bench. And you know what? Right now, it ain't broke, let's not fix it. You know, we don't need to be tinkering with players right now. If they're playing well and they're performing, leave it as it is. Leave it right where it is. Is the Barca game a priority? Another question there from Jeff. This is probably where I want to finish today, actually, on the Barca game. Now, we obviously do have Hull first, next up in the Cup, but if we skate over that for the purpose of this conversation, Barcelona. Tom, you're our resident Spanish guru. A lot of people are scared about what Messi, Suarez and Neymar might do to us. I'm more scared about Rakitic and Iniesta. But how do you put this now? You know, we're 2 points off the top place now. Mm-hmm. The form seems to be turning around. It's hard to say you prioritise a game because you should prioritise every game. But what do we do in this situation with the Barca game now?
I think that you've got to play every competition as if you're going to win it when you're in it. We're in the Premier League and we should be aiming to win that. We're in the FA Cup, we should be aiming to win that. And we're in the Champions League and we're a club who deserves to be in the Champions League and we should be aiming to win that. I think if, as people know, we do a different podcast and I was speaking to John Driscoll, who's the Sky Sports La Liga commentator, and he said that he thinks Arsenal could beat Barcelona. He thinks if Ozil is firing and Sanchez is firing and Giroud's firing, and especially with I'm expecting a bit of a rest from them at the weekend, then they'll be fully fit for the game and we can get a result. As I agree with you about the midfield, it tends to be if we get beaten in the midfield and players get through, we can look a bit susceptible at the back sometimes. So, and when it's a three like the MSN, it's going to be tricky. But I certainly think that we can get a result at home because defensively Barca are susceptible to results, and in the recent games I've watched them, they beat Levante, the bottom side in Spain at the moment, and they were quite lucky, I have to say. Levante could have levelled it with the shot that hit the post, and it could have been a very different score, so they're certainly not without their faults.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's. I definitely think that, you know, I'm always the optimist. People know this. Some people think I'm delusional. I probably am, but I'd rather be happy and cheerful about things than looking on the negative. And yeah, there's every chance we could get our asses handed to us. But you know what? There's every chance that we could just surprise a few people. We've done it before. You know, let's keep things on the positive. Final thoughts then, Jace. You wanna give us a go? See if you're alive and well, or are you robot-y? Let's see what's happening. Go on.
Domo Arigato, Mr. Robot.
Oh! And you're roboting again. Okay. Can you learn the sign language, maybe? That would be very good for the podcast edition, would it? But I don't know what's going on, Jace. Don't know what's going on. At least we got a good hour out of you this time rather than 10 minutes.
Game to type is fine.
I'm just a pretty face to look at on the YouTube feed.
Exactly. Honestly, it's like having a conversation with the Smash robots. Okay, Tom, give us your final thoughts then, and we'll let these five people have their afternoons.
I think it's an absolutely huge result. It's a title turning result. The score in the last minute like that is such a morale boost, a confidence boost, something you can really hold on to and take for the season. Welbeck will be now absolutely pumped and psyched up for the rest of the season to really try and take his chance and make a mark and try and get into that England team for the Euros as well. I know we don't like internationals, but the players certainly do think about those things. So I think that you might see Leicester not necessarily drop out of the top four, but they might, as you said, might be feeling the pressure a bit more now they've lost, and I think it's blown everything wide open.
Yeah, hear. And Jace is, I'm sure Jace would concur and just say that it's a fantastic performance. Fantastic result. Arguably not even a fantastic performance, but that's even better for me. Thank you, Jace. There you go. Look, 2-1. That's what we like to see. I'm firmly believing that the result like this, in the manner that we've won a game like this, could just be a real, real pop confidence boost to the team now. And that's why I hope we carry it on. I hope we go to Hull or play Hull next week. I hope we beat them. I hope we move on. And let's just keep this momentum and keep the good feeling, you know. We don't have to always be fighting with each other. Let's get behind the team. Let's just keep these performances going, keep cheering them over the line, and who knows, we might just be back in this title race. So anyway, that's it from us today. Thank you all very, very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. You can obviously follow at the AFC Podcast for all of our regular blogs, pods, and everything else. It's all going on. So do give us a follow. You can follow Tom, myself, and Jace at our individual Twitter handles if you don't already. That would be lovely. And yes, thank you all very much for joining us. Some new names as well. So thank you all for your time. Enjoy Manchester City Spurs. Let's all pray for some catastrophic event where a massive hole opens up and they all disappear for life. But until then, this has been ABW Radio. We're keeping the faith. We're happy. And it's good. We will speak to you very, very soon. Give up.
eat a pig, cause a pig is a cop, or better yet, a Terminator, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, trying to play me up like as if my name was Sega, but I ain't going out like no punk, bitch, get used to one style of yo, and I might switch it up, up and around, then buck, buck, get down, put out your head, and then you wake up in the dawn of the dead, I'm coming to get ya, I'm coming to get ya, spitting out lyrics, homie, I want ya, I came to get down, I came to get down, so get out your seat and jump around, jump around, jump around.